Bruchim Abayim, great to be together, great to prepare together. And we have an amazing opportunity to prepare both as parents, those of us who are fathers, but even those of us who are not playing the role of father this Yontif, just as men, as adults, as professionals, as people who are ultimately B'nai Aliyah, trying to maximize our connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the course of the Pesach experience. So to take this time to just step back, it's just an important exercise to really accomplish what we want for our spiritual growth this Pesach. So thank you for joining me, and I'm appreciative of the opportunity to share this time with you, because I know it is a crazy busy time. And I'm going to share my screen now. I want to share with you this presentation, which I hope you can see on your screen. I know you can't speak, but if you can give me a thumbs up, if you could see it. Shai, I see you. Do you see the sign on the screen? Great. So we're going to go through 10 steps of this presentation for this year. Dov is texting me that the sound is shaky. I think part of the reason the sound is shaky is because I'm running both the Zoom and the Prezi at the same time, and my computer is like, too much, I don't... You know what I'm saying? So like, we just hold on for dear life. So, you know, as we're going through this experience in life together with the Zoom, we're just all Zooming all the time. I don't know about anybody else, but like, my life is just one continuous Zoom. Breakfast, I take a nibble out of this side of the computer. Lunch, I get a bite over here. And then I just, for some of you, we've been having meetings, we're talking, all you see is the bookcase. I just move in and out. So let's get started tonight to the first order of business for our Pesach 5780. Oh yeah, Avi just texted me. I can email this out afterwards as well, of course, for anybody who didn't get it in the email today. So Pesach 5780 for men and for dads. So the first place I want to start with is the idea of commitment. And that is that for those who have been following along in the emails, there is an incredible level of commitment in Yiddishkeit in the world today. I have the zchus of being a member of the Rabbinical Council of America. So as a member of the RCA, I'm getting tons and tons of information and emails of what rabbis are dealing with. I'm a retired rabbi. I used to be a rabbi. Now I'm just on the sidelines. The rabbis who are congregational public servants, the shul rabbanim, the questions they are getting are incredible, because the level of commitment to Yiddishkeit that people are expressing today is, you know, maybe even for a generation or two generations, it's unprecedented, because we're facing crises that are unprecedented. So now, what's a lot of discussion in the rabbinic world? How to be mekayim all the dinim kitikunam. How can we best be mekayim the din of Tfilas Kelim and Hagolas Kelim? Well, we're limited in Tfilas Kelim because this mikvah is closed. And because of what is the way, what the shilas people are asking, the regular Jews, the simple pious Jews, the balabatim, the professionals, the hamon am, people care. People are committed. And that is such an extraordinary thing. And I think that that's one thing that we should think about before Pesach. And when we think about talking to our spouses or our kids or ourselves at the Seder this year, when we sit down to the Seder, how committed people are. Because that helps us combat a problem. There is always the potential, especially for so many of us. I look around Chavirim Yedidim in this group. So many of us, we grew up, we've been doing this for so long, and some of the answers to some of these halachic questions are curious and colorful, and they bring about, you know, they bring us reminders. How many of you remember this? Let's see if I can zoom in on it. One second. It's not getting closer. Hold on. There we go. How many of you remember this guy? Any show of hands, who remembers this guy? Dov, you got him? Okay. This guy, you'll excuse me for taking a moment of Beitel Torah. This guy, I don't know his name, he's some comedian who worked for... Dov, you remember?
The Daily Show.
That's right. This guy... This fellow is not from Anshe Shlomenu. He was on the Daily Show when Jon Stewart, a Yid, I wouldn't say he's somebody you would quote in a regular shiur. Jon Stewart did a whole shtickle on the Eruv in the Hamptons and how horrible the Eruv in the Hamptons was going to be, how terrible it was going to be for the Jewish community. So they interviewed Jews. Baruch Hashem, we love Jews. Oh, somebody's typing in Wyatt Sinek or something like that. Somebody already figured that out. Shkoyach. So this guy went around interviewing Nebuch, those beloved Jews. You know, some of us know them from various makomos like Collins Avenue or others. Mamish, we love them. These Jews, they just don't realize yet that they love Jews because they hate Jews. And the guy is describing how, you know, the Erev is so disastrous. You don't understand how horrible it is. You know, they're going to take a string and put around the community. So the guy says to him, well, where do you see? He says, you can't see it. It's invisible. It's invisible. So he's trying to understand what happens inside the Erev. So this comedian, this guy, Great Chab, he figures if he puts an Erev, anything can go. So here you have a bacon sandwich with pastrami and milk, but you see he's wearing an Erev hat, so Mustamis Mutter, he says to them. Because if you're inside the Erev, anything goes. So the guy who they're interviewing, the frum guy, is trying to explain to him, and I think this is something that we face sometimes when we, on a serious level, when we deal with Bechiras Chametz, or, you know, other kinds of similar shilas, where we have to explain what sometimes are legal loopholes. And the importance of understanding that each of these halachos actually has a very long history and a very substantive story to it. It's not just somebody made it up yesterday. The idea of Mechiras Chametz is something that originated in Europe and has a very strong background in halacha, but I think it takes into consideration, one second, let's go back, zoom out a little bit. It takes into consideration multiple factors. Whenever you talk about Mechiras Chametz and other similar kinds of things, like when you lend money to and from a Jew and you want to set up a Heter Iska, you always think about the letter of the law, the spirit of the law, and the need. So in the case of Mechiras Chametz, we actually take Mechiras Chametz very seriously. It's not stam a joke that you put on an Erev hat and you can put Chametz in your closet. If a person doesn't think that the Mechiras Chametz is serious, if a person is cynical about Mechiras Chametz, you shouldn't use it. Mechiras Chametz is, first of all, very strict by the letter of the law. Some of you know, I mean, when we lived in New York, this was a big thing. Rabbi Willig, he is the point person for like 40 communities in the New York, New Jersey area for Mechiras Chametz. There's a man by the name of John Brown. You shall live and be well, Ad Me'ev Esrim. He's a very successful real estate non-Jew, John Brown. You can get it. So John Brown buys the Chametz. Why does Rabbi Willig like to sell the Chametz to John Brown? Because John Brown is a very successful businessman, and in theory, John Brown could raise enough funds from his business associates to actually buy all the chametz in the New York area. Because we want to treat Mechiras Chametz as a serious business. When the rabbi, and one of the shilas that's going on here, is the rabbi does Mechiras Chametz, he does six kinyanim. Because when you sell something to a non-Jew, there are a lot of different halachic details and requirements of how to do a kinyan between a non-Jew and a Jew. So the rabbi is going to do six kinyanim. So this year, they actually, I was on a call today with a rav in New York who was describing how the rabbanim in that area are all deputizing Rabbi Willig, who's going to try, and in their shtar mechira, it says that Rabbi Willig is going to sell the chametz to John Brown, and John Brown and Rabbi Willig are trying to figure out with social distancing how they can meet next week on Wednesday and do as many of the kinyanim as possible, that it should be serious. Because it's got to follow the letter of the law. The spirit of the law. The spirit of the law is that we shouldn't have chametz. Well, if you lock your chametz in a closet and you know there's an iser gezel to steal that chametz, to take it when you're not allowed to, that's a serious thing that we're going to consider. So we're not going to have the chametz. And the need is great. The original institution of Mechiras Chametz was because back in Europe, if you were a Yid and you owned a kretschma and all you had for parnasa was, you know, was the schnapps in your inn, if you had to spill that out in the river, you would starve. So that's how they instituted the concept of Mechiras Chametz. And the truth is that today, Mechiras Chametz, in a certain sense, is also very crucial. Because if we had to throw out all our chametz, for some of us, to buy chametz the day after Pesach in this environment, it's going to be not pashut at all. There are going to be people who are going to be in real need of chametz after Pesach, lo aleinu. Think about what's going on out there. So the idea that there is a need for Mechiras Chametz is important. The reason I just point this out is that we should remember, as responsible, you know, thoughtful leaders of our household, is to realize that in this time, people are committed, not cynical. It's easy to be cynical. It's always easy to be cynical. But I think what's beautiful that's happening now that we can tap into is the inspiration of people who are committed to finding new ways to create Mechiras Chametz, to find new ways to get around Tevilas Kelim. Of course, in general, you're Tovel your Kelim, but you can't Tovel your Kelim at the risk of somebody's health. So the idea that we are committed, I think that's the first thing, the first place to start, I would say, when we think about this Pesach in comparison to other Pesach experiences, that today we have this a high level of commitment. I don't want to belabor the point, but I will say that the shilas that are being asked now are reminiscent of a very different period in time. You know, think about the kind of shilas that we have now. People are, in many cases, are in crisis. But if you go back 75 years, Rav Oshri in the Kovno ghetto, people were asking him about kidneys. So do you know that people are asking Rav Schechter now, what do we do? Is it possible for Ashkenazim to eat kidneys? And Rav Schechter has pointed out that if, God forbid, it came to the point where we didn't have other food, we have other food, we shouldn't eat kidneys if we're Ashkenazim. Sfardim, gesundheit with the kidneys. But for the rest of us, if, God forbid, got to the same point where we didn't have other food, we didn't have regular matzah and jelly or cream cheese, we can live without, you know, the kosher l'Pesach hot dog rolls. We don't need to eat kidneys to eat that. But the regular food, that would be like Rav Asher was asked 80 years ago. In the Makad Shashem, I don't know how many people on this call ever met him. He died before I came here a long time ago. But Reb Tzvi Hirsch Meisels, the Weizen Rav who came to Chicago, he has shalos and tshuvas from the Holocaust. He has a tshuva from a colleague of his in Hungary who was asked about what kind of flour they can use because they couldn't use regular shmura flour. So today, people are asking shalos, well, what if they get to the supermarket? You know, Baruch Hashem, we live in a community where they thank God there's so much this plenty for us. And if there isn't in this jewel, you can go to the jewel in Highland Park and you can go. But in some places they don't have. What about matzah that's not shmura? We call shmura matzah, that's shmura mishas katsira. What about if you can't get that? So if Shechter Paskin, if you don't have shmura matzah mishas katsira, use the basic machine matzah, that's shmura mishas lisha. That's also okay. It's amazing to see how people are committed today, and you use the foil of the Holocaust, lo aleinu, to appreciate that similar idea. I'll tell you one story, and then we'll move on to the second point. There was a Rav who was a rabbi before the war in a community in Poland, and after he survived that Gehenna, he went to Petach Tikva, became a Rav. His name is Rav Yeshua Moshe Aronson, and he wrote a sefer called Ali Meroros, which it tracks his story. He was in Auschwitz for a period of time, and he was in a work camp for a long time called Kunin. And he said in Kunin, they actually had a group of guys got together, Leila Seder, and they made a Seder, which is just mind-boggling in itself. And he says, they sat down, and they said the 15 steps, and they said Kiddush, and then they said Shehecheyanu. And he writes in his diary that the men looked at each other, and they just couldn't control themselves. He said they started to cry, and he writes, Chatzi Sha'ah, a half hour, they just sat there and cried. And the Rav Aronson said to the Balabatan, he said, how can we say Shehecheyanu? How can we say Shehecheyanu at this time? Look at us. Our world is destroyed. And he said to him, you know what it says in the Haggadah? It says, Yemei Chayecha Hayamim, Kol Yemei Chayecha Halelos. Yemei Chayecha, the days of our life, those are the days, those are the good times. And we say Yetzias Mitzrayim Balelos in the nighttime. So thank God we're not there. But for some people, this Yontif, I think of them and mamish, my heart breaks. For a person to, who would ever imagine in the year 2020 that a Jewish person should sit at a Seder table alone, like the Rambam says, and have to ask themselves the Manishtana? It's mamish Laila. For people whose family members are hooked up to ventilators, Hashem should give them a refuah and a Yeshua mamish. It's crazy. For people whose parnasa, every day they wake up, they're worried about their parnasa. It's Laila in many respects today. So Rav Aronson said those days, and we say it now, it's also a time for Shehecheyanu. It's also, we thank God for what we have. Even if all we have is a dried piece of whatever beets they had in Kunin in the work camp or other places. So this idea of commitment that has gone on for generations, even in a challenging time like now, to me is so beautiful. Second step in our journey, This is a beautiful graphic, if you could see it on the screen, from Shai Charka, who's an Israeli cartoonist. You ever wonder, why is Terach in the Seder? Seriously, we quote the Pasuk Vayomer. He says, Yehoshua said to the people, you remember the beginning of our history. What's the beginning of Jewish history? Avram Avinu is the beginning of Jewish history. How many times do we ever say, oh, our great Zeta Terach? You know, we ever look, we're so proud of our grandparents. One of the chaverim in this call, he has a grandfather who was a very chashuv person. They wrote a biography of him and a documentary, a whole thing. We look back at our grandparents like, oh, how gewaltic they were, how amazing they were. How many people say, oh, my great-grandfather Zeta, the Terach, the Mamish, the idol worshiper. He was such a great guy. So what's the pshat? So I once heard from my mother-in-law a really good point, which is that even though Terach might have been an idol worshiper, and maybe he was, you know, he was totally anti-monotheism, but you know what he was? He was a good dad. He cared about family. The Pasuk says, Loleches Arza Kanan, he, according to the Ramban discusses how Terach, he followed Avraham to go to Israel. He says, Avram, I don't believe what you believe. It's like one of those, you know, anti-religious parents whose kid flips out in NCSY, you know, becomes a frum guy. And the parents say, that's okay. No problem. We'll make a kosher home for you. We'll support you. We'll send you to yeshiva. We'll send you to a Jewish college. Because we're family. I'm sure, you know, there is a Rashi that says that Terach did tshuva at the end of his life. Okay, so he did tshuva at the end of his life. The Pasha says that Terach was mamish, not online with Avram Avinu. Not online. And yet, he was a dad. He was a good dad. And I wonder if that is a big thing for the Seder. You know, maybe we're not perfect. Maybe we need to do better mitzvahs. Maybe we need to get to shul more often when it's not, you know, like a pandemic outside. We're not perfect. Okay, but you know what? We have something special, a role that we're going to play at the Seder. We should try. Our goal is to be just a good dad. That's a big thing. Family is a cornerstone of the Seder. And that's why, even though Terach wasn't a Grois Tzaddik, but for the Seder, when we talk about family, Terach is a family man. And that is a Mila. And that's why he even gets a shout out at the Seder. It's a goal for ourselves. How to be good dads this Pesach. How to create that family time over the 3-day Yontif. That's following, and you know, somebody gets off this call and the only thing they say is Rabbi Brand said, Reuven said, be like Terach. In a chanami, be a good dad. Let's set that as a goal for ourselves. That's number one. Number two, the mitzvahs halayla, the primary mitzvah, Sefer HaChinuch says, the Rambam says, everybody knows, is the mitzvah v'igadata labincha. V'igadata labincha. Teach our children. Tell our children. It's the key mitzvah of the night. But what is the mitzvah framed as? It's vihigadata. I forget where I saw this. Maybe it was Rabbi Sachs, somewhere else. Vihigadata is miloshon gid, like a gid hanoshe, a sinew. It attaches one part of the body to the other. Joel, you have to, or Steve, somebody tell me, there's the sciatic nerve. It attaches, there's something in your bone and the tendons and the things. I don't know, you have to ask the people who know what these things are. Inside your goof, there's a gid, there's a sinew, there's a tendon that attaches the muscle to the bone. V'higadata labincha, you know what it means, say darshanim? It's about attachment, it's about connection. The night of the Seder is to find a way to connect to our kids. During the whole year, we're busy, we're running, we're doing, sometimes we do, but the ikar, the night of the Seder, v'higadata labincha, it's not to talk to them, it's not to v'dibarta labincha, it's not v'amarta labincha, it's v'higadata labincha. Find a way to connect. What is it that speaks to our kid? You know, for those of us who are going to have our kids at our Seder, what speaks to them? You know, in theory, halavai, one of the chaverim on this call, their child loves the pool. He loves water. So for that child, halavai, in a good time, we could get together, you could have the Seder in the pool. V'higadata labincha. You have a Seder in the pool because that kid, he thrives in water. Other kids, they love art. So maybe we get an artistic Haggadah. Other kids, they love puzzles. They love riddles. Whatever it's going to take for the kids to feel like we're connecting to them. That's the Ikar Mitzvah Halayla. It's lahagid. It's to connect. But it takes a whole nother level. The Heiliger of Klonimus Kalman Shapira, Hashem Yikom Damus Chusi Yagan Aleinu, the Piasetzner Rebbe, the Rebbe of the Warsaw Ghetto. The Rebbe says something in the Hakdama to the Chovas HaTalmidim, which is a book that he wrote for high school kids. And it's such an important work. It's such a powerful work. I can tell you, when I was in high school, it had a huge hashpa on me personally. I wasn't the most inspired kid, but I had one Rebbe who grabbed me in to learn this B'chavrusa, and I continued to learn it in Israel and in college, and even now in recent years with groups of students in the academy during breakfast time. We learned this Sefer, which is written for high school students. He has a Hakdama for parents and teachers. And I think about it sometimes because I find it personally challenging, especially now that we have an adolescent living in our home. I would say we're trying to raise this adolescent, but I'm not even going to go that far. Let's just say we have an adolescent living under our roof who belonged to our family before he became an adolescent, and now he's just kind of like a transient, you know, resident here, and maybe he'll grow out of that stage. You know, we hope, Mirtz Hashem, b'meher v'yameinu, amen. Please say amen. The Rebbe says something amazing. He says, look, I'm worried, says the Rebbe, I'm worried about kids going off the derech. He wrote this in 1929, 1930. He says, I see Hasidish kids going off the derech in the shtetl in Poland. And he says, you know why? He says, it's because now with the Enlightenment, kids think they know everything. I'm like, Rebbe, you're a Pashut, a prophet. You were murdered by the Germans in 1943. But Rebbe, if you saw what the kids thought today, they know more than us. It's not that they think they know more than us. They know they know more than us. So the Rebbe says in 1930s, our kids don't want to listen to us because they view us as like outside, like rulers, despots trying to tell them what to do. Who are we to tell them what to do? They can get it on their smartphone faster than we could tell it to them. They know better. So the Rebbe says, we have to change our mode of education. So in this book, which you can get in English, I think there are two different translations in English of Chovas HaTalmidim. It's phenomenal. Great book to learn, you know, with your kids if they're getting to that age. Even if they're not super, super duper inspired. You know, I decided that with my kids, I was going to learn for a couple minutes a day. When we went to my in-laws this year in the winter, we go in the winter time to, you know, to get out of the freezing cold here in Skokie. We go to my in-laws in Florida. So I decided I was going to learn with my kids every day, just a couple of minutes. I was going to learn with them Chovas HaTalmidim. It's just so amazing because the Rebbe came up with in 1930 what is called today child-centered education. He has an entire book on an educational philosophy that today is called an Educational World Child-Centered Philosophy. And what he discusses in the Hakdama is that our goal, and this is something that we should think about before Pesach starts, is that instead of viewing ourselves as the mechanech, our goal is to tell our child, you are the mechanech. You are your own educator. That is the goal of chinuch today, says the Pia Setzner. And if it was true in 1930, it is so true in 2020. It's up to us to empower our kids to have them realize that they have a neshama. They have a goal. Hashem has a mission for them, and only they can fulfill it. And we can't force them to do it. We could tell them one thing, but when they're behind closed doors, they're going to do whatever they feel, whatever they decide. So ultimately, they have the independence. And we need to teach them, we need to model for them, we need them to get them to understand that it's up to them. We need to give them the tools. This child-centered approach gives them the tools to figure out on their own what is their connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So who is the mechanech on the night of the Seder? On the one hand, we say, oh, we're the adults, we're the parents, v'higadot al-mincha, so we're going to tell them all the things. But it's actually the opposite, the Rebbe says. The Rebbe says in today's day and age, the goal of the parent is to empower the child to be the mechanech. So I was thinking today, for my Seder this year, especially with all the things going on and the kids trapped in the house, and I'm going to try to assign, and I'm going to get my kids to hopefully buy into this, that each one of them can be a captain of a part of the Haggadah. And they're going to be responsible to be the leader of that Haggadah and to tell us something about it. Because empowering the kids, that's a big piece of this V'higadot al-mincha b'zman hazeh, according to the Rebbe. The Rebbe's understanding of the mitzvah of chinuch, of chanoch l'nar al-pi darko in our generation, is having the kids understand that they are the Ikar Mechanech. That's number one. But number two, once I'm on the Pia Setzner, I can't help myself. I came across this Vort this year, which is just too spectacular, even though it's not connected to this, but I can't help it. So this is what you're going to get. This is amazing. In 1930, also way before the war, before the ghetto, before everything, the Rebbe gave Shabbos drashos, not as famous, called Derech HaMelech. And in this Derech HaMelech, which I just bought this year for the first time, he has a couple of ha'aras on the Haggadah. And he has an absolutely spectacular vort. B'chol dor v'dor chayav adam liris es atzmo ki'ilu yatsmi Mitzrayim. Right, we all know, the Rambam says, we all have to see ourselves as if we left Egypt tonight. Great. And that's why we're going to lean like free people. That's why some people are going to run around with matzah on their shoulder like they left tonight. There's a minute to do that. Some people are going to run into the swimming pool if they have one in the backyard because we're leaving Egypt. We're going to scare the kids half to death if that's something you do. All the things that we do, liros es atzmo ki'ilu hu yatsa mimitzrayim. We are leaving Egypt tonight. Great. That's the pshat. That's totally true. And it's not just that on a deeper level, says the Alter Rebbe, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe of Shneur Zalman of Liadi, that every day we have the koach to leave Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim are the boundaries, the things that tell us we can't. We can't get to shul, we can't learn more, we can't spend more time, we can't invest in ourselves, we can't meditate, all the things we can't, all the limitations, the Meitzarim. We get out of that, and we have the koach to get out of that all year. And the Alter Rebbe says what that really means is that we have the meitzar of the guf, our body, and then we have the neshama, which is always something we need to be freeing. We need to be free from our physical limitations and get out of that to get living in the spiritual, get spiritual. That's all true, all those levels. The pshat level of the Rambam, the second level of the meitzarim, and the third level of the guf and the neshama. But the Rebbe says a pshat homiletically. Amazing. Listen to this. B'chol dor v'dor, chayav adam liris es atzmo. In every generation, we have to see ourselves. Can we see who we are? Who are we? Adam Harishon. He ate from the Eitz Hadas. He made a huge mistake. And God comes to me and says, Adam, my Adamol. Ayeka, where are you, kid? Where are you, son? And you know what, Adam Harishon? He couldn't even answer. The Piasetzner and a world away Rav Kook have the same vort. Adam Harishon's sad, tragic ending after this chait was that he didn't know how to answer HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, here I am, this is who I am. He couldn't do it. He didn't know who he was anymore. He had no identity. So the Piasetzner Rebbe says, behold or vador, in every generation, you know what we need to do? Chayav adam liros es atzmo. We have to be able to see ourselves. Who are we? The answer is, we are a somebody. If we told people 100 years ago, 100 years ago, that there would be, lo aleinu, Jews in America in a pandemic, who would still be committed to eating a matzah and learning and preparing for the Seder, would anybody have believed it? Were our great-great-grandparents believe that we would still love Yiddishkeit today? Probably not. They probably would have said, there's no way. But we do! We have to see that we are a somebody. We are accomplishing great things. Liros es atzmo. And then personalize it. What's my avoda? What's unique to me? How do I connect to Hashem? So for some of us, when we say liros es atzmo b'chol dor v'dor in every generation, so for some of us that means it's a generation that we need meditation. And for some of us it's a generation where we're doing, you know, shir during exercise. And for some of us it's the mitzvah of, you know, pikuach nefesh and hatzal. What? Who am I? Liros es atzmo. Can I answer the question when I look in the mirror spiritual and I say, who am I? The Rebbe says, we need to answer that question in every generation. Every Pesach, we need to answer that question. Who am I this year? Not what do I do, but who am I? What kind of Jew am I? Am I more intellectual Jew? Am I more emotional Jew? Making sure that we can answer those questions. Liros es atzmo. One last point on the Piasetzner. You know, the Rebbe, after a couple of weeks, you know, the first week of the bombing of Warsaw, his son was injured. He was taken to a hospital. And then when he was in the hospital, several members of the family were visiting. The Rebbe left for a short while and a bomb fell at the entrance of the hospital. And it killed his daughter-in-law, a bunch of other members of their family. And then his son died on the second day of Chol HaMoed Sukkos in 1939. By this point, the Rebbe is completely alone. No family members whatsoever. And yet, he built an entire life and a spiritual empire for himself, giving chizuk to other people in the ghetto, which is just, the enormity of that is impossible to fathom. But what's amazing to me, part of this, is reading the writings of the Rebbe in the Eish Kodesh, which he called the Drashas Mishnos Hazam, the sermons from those years. It's amazing to see how the Rebbe modeled something for us in the way that it relates to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that is, the Rebbe never felt that he was alone. And he certainly never felt that he was lonely, because the Rabbona Shalom was with him. And he even writes in his diary, which was buried with the same papers with the Onik Shabbos archives. It was found years later in a milk can under the ghetto. He buried also there a piece of his diary where he talks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu directly. And he says to him, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I need you to help me with this. I need you to help me with that. This year, Rachmana Litzlan, unless the Mashiach Tzidkenu comes right away, it breaks my heart. There are going to be people who are going to be sitting at their Seder table alone. Some of those people are related to us. They might even be us. And what is that experience life? But you know, when we look at the Rebbe, we realize we are never alone. Even if our parents aren't with us and we're not having the big, beautiful family Seder like we used to in Shanim Kadmonios, but the Rebbe says the Rabbona Shalom is always there. God is always with us, and especially at our Seder table. So nobody, if you see or talk to somebody who's going to be alone for the Seder, it's important to give him chizuk, whatever we can, and to remind ourselves and them that the Rabbona Shalom is at the table with them. So one of the things that we're doing this year, Mirtz Hashem, for the Kolol, there are several members, you know, many of you know that we do this outreach opportunity we call the MCJL. So this week I had the great schus. I had a chance to meet on Zoom with almost 60 docents for a pre-Passover. We had a special session for the docents. Several of those docents are literally living alone. They're going to be alone for the Yontif. So Nechama agreed, we're going to be doing before Pesach, an hour before Pesach, we're going to do like a pre-Seder family experience, and we're inviting these docents, and then we're going to open it up to other people, but so that people should feel that they're not alone. The Rebbe told us, we're never alone. That's what we have to reinforce for ourselves. We're also going to be putting together, Mirtz Hashem, we're going to email out on Tuesday. Michael, it's going to be amazing. We're going to send out an entire, like a schedule, a map for the people can print out for 3-day Yontif. Because I know people who are going to be in their apartment alone for 3 days Yontif. How do you create structure? So we're going to have like, not like choose your own adventure, but like a schedule, a Seder HaDvarim of, you know, when to daven and when to eat and things to learn, and just to give people some structure that they shouldn't feel alone. So A, they shouldn't feel alone. They're part of the Kolo community. We'll always be there for them. But B, the Rabbona Shalom is always with them. Let's go weiter. Number 5, the idea of Masorah. One of the most important things that we touch on the night of Pesach is the connection that we have to generations. Especially this year, I would encourage all of us, especially the young guys with young children, this is a time when our grandparents are not going to be at the Seder. Let's bring them to the Seder. Bring your parents to the Seder. Bring your grandparents to the Seder. Make up trivia questions about your family. Where did your parents grow up? We've spoken about this in years past, but it's even more important this year. Have our children get to know our Masorah. Do our kids know whether we're Sephardi or Ashkenazi? Do they know whether our grandparents came from Poland or they came from Lithuania? Do we know? We don't need Ancestry.com. We need to figure this out for ourselves. This is part of our identity. You know, Ben-Gurion once commented, Ben-Gurion asked, he says, did anybody, we can take a show of hands, anybody here know what the Chevra on the Mayflower ate when they left England? This is great. We quoted The Daily Show and Jon Stewart on the same cheer with Ben-Gurion. We're hitting all the high points here.
$10 on matzah.
Right, matzah. You know what Ben-Gurion said? He said, no one knows. He says, does anybody know what date the Mayflower left from England? He said, nobody knows. Because there isn't that Masorah. It's not part of Americans' identity. But for us, we know what our grandparents ate when they left Egypt. We know exactly what day and we know at what time, because that's part of our identity. Our Masorah is part of who we are. This is crucial for our future. It's also, there was a study that was done, we mentioned this in years past, by a couple of sociologists, psychologists, Chevra, who did an amazing study about kids who grew up with much higher social and economic and psychological being because they knew their family history. Telling our family story, so important at the Seder, our grandparents, our extended family, what country we come from. I'm delighted, honored, humbled. I'm very excited to share this with you on the screen. If you could see, can you see this picture on the screen? So now you can look on the video. Zachar Latov, Shachna David. Some of you know Shachna David. He's also Mechuna Scott. Scott Rosenzweig. I think it's mutter to say this, not Lashon Hara. Scott Rosenzweig used to have a habit, he told me, was called junking. I never knew it was a verb. He goes places and they have junkyard sales. So I was once telling Scott that there was an amazing thing that in the 1950s, Life magazine, Elliot, at least you will recognize this. The rest of us, I don't want to say whether we would or we wouldn't. Steve.
Thanks, I appreciate that.
Yeah, great shout out. Nice, right? It's very nice touch. Life magazine was looking to profile the major Jewish religions, the major religions in America. So they went out and found a Christian Catholic family and a Muslim family, and they were looking for a Jewish family, three generations Orthodox, outside New York City. So they found our family. My grandmother's family grew up in a tiny suburb of Scranton. Scranton was the Ir Habira, if you can imagine such a thing. Scranton was the big city. They grew up in a loch called Taylor, Pennsylvania. They had later a farm in Mount Cobb. This is my great aunt, Tabi, Aleha HaShalom, lighting candles, fake lighting candles, for Life magazine. This is June 13th, 1955. So I was telling this once, I don't remember when, to Shachna David, to Scott Rosenzweig, and he says to me, you won't believe what happened. I was at a junk sale in Michigan last week, and I happened to see a stack of Life magazines. 2 weeks later, I get an envelope in the mail, I kid you not, from someone who lives in Galleon, Michigan. I don't know, I might not even be pronouncing it right. Scott found this magazine and had the woman pick it up and mail it to me. So what you are looking at now on the screen share is the picture from inside the magazine of a stage Seder. That is on the bottom right-hand corner. My great-grandfather, Zecher Levracha, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, Pa, Fink, my grandmother's father, and his son, my great-uncle Dave, and our cousins. This is featured in Life magazine in 1955. Three generations of Orthodox Jews. If people said at that time, is there going to be another three generations of Orthodox Jews in 2020? I don't know if people would say yes or no. But we are here, and we're connected to these people. How many of our grandparents were Moser Nefesh to keep Yiddishkeit alive? We are the chain in that, we're the link in that chain of the Masorah. Our kids are the next chain. So having them have the grasp of where we come from is super, super important. So I would encourage you to think about before the Seder, in your own home, take some time, write out some questions. Maybe you want to pretend to be your grandfather, to pretend to be your great-grandfather, and have the kids interview you. You know, like Lahavdil, like a names, not numbers. You know, imagine your great-grandfather sitting at your Seder table and have that person play role play. Ask him questions. Where did he live? What did he eat? What was his name? Make sure that our kids feel that they are part of the Masorah. What are the spiritual genes that our kids have? And those are unique. For some of us, it's our grandparents came to this country and they ate nothing because they had to be Moser Nefesh for Shabbos. For some of us, our grandparents fought in World War II and they observed Yiddishkeit, they made Kiddush. For some of us, they fought in the Haganah. Whatever it is, our kids need to know this. Tonight, the Seder night, is the night of the Masorah. Let's make sure to give it to them. Number six. The Arba Bonim. So the first thing to know about this, Sfasema says, is don't think so fast. We look around the table. Some of us have four kids. We're already looking. All right, this one's the Chacham, this one's the Rasha, this one's the Tam, this one's Shein Ede Alishal. We're putting them in boxes. Sfasema says, not so fast, honey. Sfasema says, each one of us has a shtickle Chacham, a shtickle Rasha, a shtickle Tam, and a shtickle Shein Ede Alishal within us. And we're addressing ourselves. a little piece of us that needs to be attended to. So each of our kids, they don't fit into one box. We fit into all the boxes. Some days we feel like a chacham. Sometimes we feel like a sheini de'al ishal. Different ones. So that's number one. Don't think we're going to put every box, every kid in a box. Each one of us, including ourselves, we have all of these elements. Number two, it's important, of course, but we need to restate the obvious, to understand each kid, where they're coming from, what their predisposition is, what their attitude is, what their experience in school is, what their friend situation is, so that we can help build them up. We need to build our kids that they should have self-confidence, spiritual self-esteem. Dr. Abraham J. Tversky points out that the worst machla that a person could have is low spiritual self-esteem. We need to build our kids' self-esteem. You want to know something incredible? The great tzaddik, the Kohen from Lublin, he writes that when it comes to emuna and matzah's nama de mehemnusa, the night of the Seder of emuna, he says, kishem, just like tzarach ha'adam lahamin ba'ashem yisbarach, just like we need to believe in God, tzach kach tzarach ha'adam lahamin ba'atzmo, a person needs to believe in themselves. We need to make sure that our kids know that they have spiritual self-worth, that they belong in Yiddishkeit. They might be different, they might look different, they might dress different, but every kid belongs in Yiddishkeit. That's what we need to tell them. We need to understand where they're coming from. And then, perhaps I wonder, if we have a message for each one of them. The Chacham, what do we tell him? Ein maftirin achra pesach afikomen. The Chacham, we don't call him a tzaddik, we call him a Chacham, he's very wise. So you know what we tell him? Don't eat after the afikomen, after the Korban Pesach. Why? Because we want, the Gemara says, you want the tam matzah to be in his mouth. You take a Chacham, a kid who's very smart, or a balabas, a person who's very smart, and they know all the laws, they know all the rules. They're a Chacham. But you want to know what we need to tell them? That matzah also has a tam, it has a taste. It's not enough to just say, we know all the rules. No, we have to taste Judaism. Tamu ru'u ki tov. It's got to be geshmak. If Judaism in our house is just a bunch of rules, then it's not going to be geshmak. People are not going to vote with their feet to stay in. So we tell the chacham, you're really smart, but smart is not enough. We tell all the dads, you got all the halachas, you kasha the house right? Yeah, is it geshmak? Is there tam matzah? Do you taste the matzah after the Seder is over? If you still taste the matzah when the Seder is over, it's good. If you don't taste it, if you don't have that lingering geschmack feeling, it's like when you finish a barbecue from the Korban Pesach, you should feel that geschmack. And that's why don't eat anything afterwards, because it's going to take it away. The Rasha, you know what we do? We knock out his teeth. Why do we knock out his teeth? Because the teeth are there to chew stuff. Sometimes we have kids who they have to spend so much time chewing the Yiddishkeit, breaking it down and breaking it down, they get tired of Yiddishkeit because they're tired of chewing. So you know what we do? Ois haken detzein, they'd say in Yiddish. Take out his teeth. First of all, I know a dentist. If you have somebody who has no teeth, we can fix that. But in addition to taking out his teeth, you know what you do? What that's really telling us symbolically is take out the need to chew. Make it easier for this kid. Make it simpler. We don't have to tell this Russia, who's having such a hard time chewing all the Judaism, chewing all the laws, you don't have to tell him every shtickel Torah from Rebbe Kiva Eger. For that kid, maybe a story is good. So he doesn't have to chew so hard. Some kids, they leave Yiddishkeit because the amount of books that we put on their head is so heavy, they're like, they get a hernia from that. For this kid, just take out his teeth, tell him he doesn't have to chew so hard. The Tom, you know what we tell the Tom? One thing. Simple kid, ain't old movado. That's it, ain't old movado. We just tell him, the Rebbe Shalom took us out, it's beautiful. And the She'eni Yodei Lishol, this She'eni Yodei Lishol could be one of two things. It could either be a kid who doesn't know, or better yet, you know what's more challenging? My Rebbe of Moshe Stav used to say, he said the She'eni Yodei Lishol is much harder because he doesn't care. He's apathetic. So you know what the best thing to do for a kid who's struggling because he's apathetic? He doesn't know anything? Empower him. At Pesachlo, you empower that kid. What do we do to the She'enu Yodei Lishol? We tell him, At Pesachlo, Let me give you the exact lashon. You tell the kid who's the Einir Deil Ishol, V'igadata levincha b'yom ha'olim or ba'avur ze asa Hashem li betzesi mimitzrayim. At psach lo, you open for this kid, shenemar, V'igadata levincha b'yom ha'olim or ba'avur ze asa Hashem li betzesi mimitzrayim. God took us out of Egypt, so we should tell the story. So you know what we tell this kid? Our job in leaving Egypt is so that you should tell someone else. You need to be a somebody. This kid who doesn't care, Rabbi Pelkovitz, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, some of you remember him, some of you knew him. Michael's there, you remember him from the White Shul, from Rockaway, Nechama Saba. So he told me he once got a call from somebody who was in Houston many years ago and an area that was very small Jewish community. So he called Rabbi Pelkovitz for an idea. How is he going to keep his Yiddishkeit strong when he's in Houston? So Rabbi Pelkovitz told me, he said, you know what I told him? Find someone who knows less than you and mentor them. V'igadata lebincha b'yom ha'olim, as we're telling the She'enu Yodea Lishol, the kid who's not inspired, now you go be a B'nai Akiva leader. You go be an NCSY counselor. You go be a peer buddy for somebody who's less knowledgeable than you. You should go mentor the younger sibling. The She'enu Yodea Lishol, oftentimes we can reach them if we empower them. Instead of saying, oh, you're a cynic, get lost. We say to them, you're a cynic, but you know what? We need you, because you're a sharp kid, and we need you to teach that other kid, Chaim Yankel, in the class. The She'enu Yodea Lishol, there's a lot to work with there, even if he's apathetic. The Rambam's nuts. The Rambam tells us in Hilchos Chametz Umatzah and Perek Zayin Halacha Beis, we need to move things around, shake it up for the kids. So the Rambam says, We should give them nuts and candies. So today it's already controversial. You can't give them nuts. This one's allergic. This one's kidneyous. You got a lot of problems with nuts. But find other ways. Lots of incentives. I'm putting on the screen here the Seder shekels that we've used over the years. And Mirtz Hashem, on Tuesday, when we send out the schedule for Yontif that people can print, we're going to send a link to lots of other kids. Chachkalach, we're sending these every day, the Torah in the box things. Next week, there's going to be a Seder bingo. This week, we had, you know, there's all these chachkalach. Mix it up. Make it fun. The Rambam says we have to get kids to ask. So make it interesting in a way that it will be memorable. And this brings us to the next point, the point of number 7 being incentives, to the next point of making it experiential. Rav Soloveitchik, oh man, I'm so late. I'm so sorry. I know everybody here is probably also falling asleep. You've been on Zoom for 7 hours, 8 hours, 12 hours in a row. So anybody who wants to drop off, I'm not looking. Gesunte hate. But I have 1, 2, 3 more points for us tonight. Here we go, point number 8, and that is an experience. Even though we're big shots, we're fathers, we're the big Bala Seder, the truth is, the Seder has nothing to do with fathers. The Seder is all about the mothers. That's the truth. Rav Soloveitchik said in this beautiful, magnificent, masterful hesped that he gave for the Tolliner Rebbetzin, you can see it on the screen if you can read it, otherwise I'll send it to you. I can send out the link later. You can get this online. It's incredible. The Rav says, there are two Masorahs, and he's talking about his own person. He says, from his father, he learned all the laws. He learned the laws of Shabbos. He learned how to make a chakira, how to parse a Gemara. He learned how to brisker analyze every Rambam. But then he says, what I learned from my mother. My father, I learned Musa Ravicha, but my mother taught me Torah Simecha. He says, what is Torah Simecha? What kind of Torah does the mother pass on? I admit that I'm not able to define precisely the Masoretic role of the Jewish mother. Only by circumscription I hope to explain it. He says, my mother used to talk in Yonah Diyoma. I used to watch her arranging the house in honor of the holiday. I used to see her recite prayers. I used to watch her recite the Sedra every Friday night, and I still remember the nostalgic tune. I learned from her very much. The Rav says, most of all, I learned that Judaism expresses itself not only in formal compliance with the law, but also in a living experience. She taught me that there is a flavor, a scent, and warmth to mitzvahs. I learned from her the most important thing in life. Could you imagine? The Rav says, this is the Rav, one of the greatest Yidden, one of the greatest Baalei HaMasora in the last 100 years. He says, this is the most important thing in all of life. We should, you know what we should do? We should print this and make it a banner for the Seder. Quote, to feel the presence of the Almighty and the gentle pressure of His hand resting upon my frail shoulders. Period. That's the most important thing in life, the Rav says, is to feel the hand of God, to feel the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu with us. He says, I learned the laws of Shabbos from my father, but I learned that Shabbos has a feeling, a scent, an experience from my mother. So what's the Seder? Is the Seder a Shir Klali from Reb Chaim? Is it Reb Moshe Soloveitchik giving you a Chakira? Is it the Igros HaGrid? No, it's not. It's an experience that the Rav says he got from his mother. So we are like mothers on the night of the Seder. That's why there are four questions. There are four sons. There are four Baruch HaMakoms. There are four, you know, everything is in fours. Because four mothers, that's the Ikar. The Ikar is the mothers. We're masquerading like mothers. You know, it doesn't mean you wear a tichel. Just you get in the mindset of what it means to create an environment. The fathers, the Rav says, knew much about the Shabbos. The mothers lived the Shabbos. This is why Rabbi Gamliel says, Kol shlo amar shlosh dvarim eilu b'pesach lo yotzei yedei chovaso. Because if you don't say Pesach, Matzah, and Maror, what are you not yotzei? So some Rishonim say, you're not even yotzei the Pesach, the Matzah, and the Maror. Because you have to explain it. But not only that, if you have a Haggadah, you have to have Pesach, Matzah, and Maror. Yachol me Rosh Chodesh. Maybe we should have a shir from Rosh Chodesh. The answer is no. B'shashish Matzah, Maror, Menachem Lefanecha. You have to have the Matzah and the Maror in front of you. Because you have to taste Yiddishkeit. You have to feel it. You have to smell it. How many of us can remember the smell? I look around this room. I see, I mean, it's a room, it's not a physical room. I look around the Zoom call and I see some of us who, Baruch Hashem, we still have our parents, and some of us who don't have our parents. Those of us who don't have our parents or our grandparents, we're thinking of them. Do we remember? Of course we remember. The smell of the kitchen, the look at the Seder table, the feel, what it meant to get that Leil Pesach hug, or that, you know, this is from our parents or grandparents. This is a feeling. It's not a shir. It's not Musar Avicha. It's Torah Simecha. So we need to make sure that when we prepare for the night of the Seder, we prepare to make it a memorable experience. So to do that, I want to introduce you to this guy, this book.
There's a puzzle about our memories of experiences. Let's call it the Disney paradox. And if you've been to one of the Disney theme parks, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. If we were to sample your happiness level at, say, a couple of dozen different
moments
over the course of your park visit, my guess is that...
So I'm going to do the voiceover. This is a guy by the name of Heath.
Less humid there, less crowded.
He's describing a book.
But as kids, what this means is that we're really talking about creating better moments.
This is an amazing book called The Power of Moments. You can get this video on YouTube. You're watching here, and I'll show you the book in a second. The book is about how to create memorable moments. And these guys, these two brothers, Chip and Dan Heath, they figured out how to make memorable moments. One of the most fascinating aspects of this is an example they use in the book called the Magic Castle Hotel. This is what you're looking on the screen, the Magic Castle Hotel. Doesn't look like an amazing hotel, yet would you believe that this is the second rated hotel in LA? And you know why? It has amazing views on TripAdvisor, not because it has the most beautiful grounds, but because, look at that, that is the popsicle phone. You pick up the popsicle phone at the pool, and somebody, you see it on the screen, it's not making it up, somebody will bring you a silver tray with a popsicle at the pool. That's it. That's the whole Shtickle Torah. And what is amazing of this whole book and the story of this video is, and I'll share it with you one second, I'll just come back, I'm going to stop the share for a second, so you could see it now in front of you. This book, they did all the research from a business standpoint. Amazing, amazing book. What does it take to create memorable moments? You know, some people on this call, they have businesses where they do that. Let's say in an apartment complex, and they put a popcorn maker in the lobby. And that is a memorable moment. So this book is all about basically how Chazal, you know, these guys, they didn't know Chazal, so they couldn't, you know, tap into that. But Chazal, everything they did in the Seder is exactly what this book is all about. So for example, they have four yesodos in the book of elevation, insight, pride, and connection. And they have all the research and the shtiklach that go with it. Fascinating book. It's a great read. It's very good for business, but I think it's tremendous for chinuch. So in the book, for example, they talk about what's called breaking the script, doing things that are unexpected. And that's what Chazal said when they said, do things for the kids that they don't expect. Then they have stuff about insight and prize, recognizing others. Maybe we want to give kids special recognition. We want to make a surprise hat for the kid who's saying the Dvar Torah. He's going to wear the hat that we bought on Amazon. That's going to be the Dvar Torah hat for this little girl or this little boy. Creating connection, shared meaning, deepening ties. We could have done the entire shiur tonight just out of this one book. But it's Mar Mokam Ani Lach because it's a quick read. It's great for those who are in business. I use this a lot in terms of thinking how to build a shiur, but also how to build a creative program. From a Kol standpoint, we're working with kids and adults. It's a really fascinating book. I think it's very appropriate for the Seder. It's called Power of Moments by Chip and Dan Heath. Let's go back to our shared screen for our last 2 points. Okay. How do I do this? Okay. Shkoyach, done. Okay. Let's move on. A living Torah, Tzei Ulamad. The longest, most boring part of the Haggadah is Tzei Ulamad. Everybody knows that. We take four psukim from the section of Mikra Bikurim. Everyone's nodding. I'm glad. We're all in agreement, right? You take four psukim from Mikra Bikurim. You notice, by the way, that we take four psukim even though five are written there. How many cups do we drink? Four cups, even though there are five cups. We only drink four. There are five Lashonos of Geula, but we only mention four. That can't be an accident, can it? Okay, we'll leave that for another time. What is Tzei Ulamad? Tzei Ulamad, if you open up your average, like your a simple art scroll Haggadah, they will explain to you that it's four psukim, and the Chazal gave you drashos. And I think this is an important thing for us to explain to our kids, that halacha doesn't come from the rabbi's email. It doesn't come, I didn't make it up, you didn't make it up, the rabbi in the shul didn't make it up. There is a long tradition that comes from the Gemara. There is a Masorah of Tzei Ulamad. Just read it.
Of course, what do I do? I introduce them to my pupils. And the dialogue commences. The Rambam says something, the Rambam disagrees. Sometimes it's very nasty.
Can you hear now? It's the Rav.
It's probably actually better off with the
subtitles. So, the language he uses is improper, he uses improper language, so I correct him. And another boy jumps up with a new idea. The Rav smiles gently. I try to analyze what the young boy meant. Another boy intervenes. We call upon the Rabbi Natan to express his opinion, and suddenly, a symposium of generations comes into existence. Generations! Young boys, 22.
This is what we're talking about. The Rav is saying, if you could hear him, just his voice. That was actually the Rav speaking at a Pidyon HaBen in the 1970s, where the Rav said that when he gives a shiur in YU, Reb Chaim Soloveitchik walks into his classroom, and the Rambam walks into his classroom. Guys, when we sit down at the Seder, Reb Chaim Soloveitchik comes to our Seder to make sure, don't worry, you're going to have enough of a shir. And the Rambam comes in to make sure you're going to have enough kazayas of karpas, less than a kazayas of karpas, whatever. The point is that it's important at the Seder, when we do all of these things, in some way or fashion, to explain to the kids that there was a Torah that we got from Sinai, and then that Torah was given to Moshe, to Yehoshua, to the Zakenim, to the elders. We could spend a whole nother night, maybe make a chart. You know, in years past, we've given out, I think some years, a chart from Moshe Rabbeinu all the way down to us, Rebbe to Talmud. So to teach our kids that it's not just that there is a family Masorah, but there is also a Masorah in Halacha, in the Jewish community. It's a living Torah. Tzei Ulamad is an opportunity to teach our kids that they are part of a chain of Masorah. Maybe you have a rabbi in your family, maybe you just have a chumash in your house, but we are all part of the chain of Masorah. Last point, and with this we'll end. Many of us have heard of, some of us even have this minig, we're tired, but at the end of a Seder, I personally follow the Chassidish minig. We have many minhagim in our home that are from Chassidim because that's our family. We say Shir HaShirim. I think this is ultimately what we want to tell our kids. And we want them to understand at the end, when the Seder is all done, is that we look to the Ribbono Shel Olam and say, just, Ribbono Shel Olam, we love you. We really love you. We love you with our heart. And that's what Shir HaShirim is. It's a love song. We want to make sure that whatever we do, however we go through our Seder experience, the kids know that we love Yiddishkeit. And if we need to think about that in advance and find ways, and maybe we haven't thought about that in a long time, like in any relationship. Maybe this relationship has gone stale. Maybe we need another date. Maybe we need to meditate before Yontif. Maybe we need to say Tehillim. Maybe we need to go watch the sunrise from our window at social distance. Whatever we need to do to make sure that that love and that connection is still burning bright in our lives, that's where the Seder's got to end. It's got to end feeling in love with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the ultimate feeling that we're going to close with. So to summarize, and now you see the journey where we started and where we ended, and I'm appreciative that one of the chaverim on this call gave me a reminder that we should really do a prezi because we didn't have four cups and everyone looks forward to the prezi. Okay, so we did it, Baruch Hashem. Thank you. We started with the importance of commitment and not being cynical about the laws and realizing how committed people are today. We talked about Terach and the importance of being a good dad, doesn't matter what else, setting that as a goal to ourselves. We talked about V'higadata Labincha, point number three, of connecting to our kids. Point number four, we met the Pia Setzner and we talked about the importance of child-centered chinuch, empowering our kids, seeing ourselves, answering who we are and not feeling alone. We talked about the importance of our family, Masorah, where do we come from? We talked about four sons, that we have those four sons in all of us to understand each kid and to share a message with each kid. We talked about the Rambam, the importance of shaking it up and creating incentives, and the Rav to make sure that we have an experience. The eighth point was to have the experience, that feeling, that geschmack, that taste, that image that stays with us. And not a shir, the power of a moment. We talked about Seul Mad, about having a chain of Masorah, that we have a halacha, a tradition that goes back all the way to Sinai, and then the ultimate goal, the balloons at the end, the shir hashirim, the love, the relationship that we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a lot, it's a tall task, we have so many things to do, we have so many things to do between now and then, but maybe just carve out a little bit of time for each one of us to make a list of things that we can do for ourselves, in our own siddurim, in our own lives, for our own families, for our own situation this year, and in the merit of us investing and creating a beautiful Seder for our children, for our families, for whoever is going to be together with us, and even those who aren't going to be, maybe send them something in advance. You know somebody who's not on the call tonight, you know they're going to be alone, give them some chizuk, forward them an email, what the kol is sending, what the shul is sending, what the school, anything, just to reach out in the chus of this, us being together tonight, we should see the refuah, the yeshua, and the geula that we're all mamish begging the Ribbono Shel Olam for. Tonight, you know, at the time of the Seder, when we sit down, the Ribbono Shel Olam is with us, Eliyahu HaNavi is there. We should take a moment just to daven for Yeshua's, for Klal Yisrael, and hopefully in that merit, we'll see that salvation.